some interesting health results coming through, and not all that fantastic for many of us here in the Hunter. Let's find out what the Health Tracker Atlas discovered. We've got Professor Rosemary Caldler joining us from the Australian Health Policy Collaboration area. Now, good morning, Rosemary. Thanks for your time today. Let's have a look at some of these results and how they fared for the Hunter. Certain areas said you're getting a lot more physical exercise.
Yes, indeed. In the Hunter region, the area that's done very well is Newcastle and Lake Macquarie areas, rather Newcastle and Lake Macquarie, where the physical activity rate there is better than the state average and the national average. But it's not so good in Cessnock, where it's 73.5%, about almost 10% above the high rate at state level and the national level.
Yeah, so in those areas, that's around that 70-odd percent of people that aren't getting any or enough exercise.
That's exactly what it means.
And if we head a little further afield to Muswellbrook, it's just a tad under 78%. Those numbers are pretty staggering, aren't they?
They are alarming, particularly when we understand that physical activity is a really important part of maintaining health. We are built to walk, to move, to stand, and now we're, of course, living much more sedentary lives than we've ever done in history, and it's having a big impact.
Yeah, I guess in the last, you know, 4 or 5 decades, everything's completely changed, where, you know, if you went to work, let's say, you walked a kilometre or so to work or to the train or the bus or whatever, and most of us did sort of more manual type jobs, where now we walk to the garage and then we try and get a car park as close to the office as we can and don't do a hell of a lot before we go home. Exercise-wise.
That's exactly right. And now we're working longer hours. Australia has one of the highest international measures of hours worked per week. So we have even less time to do things voluntarily that are physical, getting out and walking with the dog or the children or riding a bike. It's much, much harder.
Rosemary, I'm going to put my hand up as doing something good on the weekend. I did run for 9 kilometres yesterday, so I'm quite happy with that. But then you cut me down and said, well, what's the diet like for the rest of the weekend as well?
That's right, they go together.
They certainly do. So the further away from the coast, the worse the story seems to be. What is it about that relationship that you find that makes these results so stunningly alarming?
Well, in the health tracker data that we've just released, it's very clearly evident that there's a geographical pattern, particularly to physical activity, but also to diet and other risk factors for preventable chronic disease. And we associate the areas that are well-resourced physically, that have lovely outdoor environments, we call them the leafy suburbs or the coastal suburbs. And it is very clear that the quality of your environment, the area in which you live, seriously impacts on the population health in that area. And it's not surprising that if you do live in a lovely leafy suburb or you've got coastal beaches to walk along, that you're more likely to undertake some of that physical activity we've talked about after work, before work, on the weekends, than if you're in an industrial suburb, a congested suburb, a suburb that's absolutely laced by arterial roads, taking both people and freight to and from. And if you are living in an area of low socioeconomic status, your local government's likely to have a low income base as well and be less able to invest in providing outdoor amenities such as the wealthier, more established suburbs can do, particularly along the coast.
So if governments could think of it in a different way, if they could sort of spend a little here to try and, you know, encourage people to do a little bit more. At the other end, they'd be saving with health as well. And another interesting stat that I pulled out of this as well is that around the amount of children that are obese and overweight as well in the coalfields area, a little over a quarter, 27.5%.
That's right. It's a frightening figure, isn't it? Because these children are set up for poor health in later life already.
Mm. Yeah, and again, what are we putting this down to? Because I can remember growing up in that part of the Hunter, we walked everywhere, and we rode bikes to school for pretty much most of my time there, and that's where we spent our weekends as well. So what's changed?
Well, there's a mix of things that have changed, and we do now have among the world's most chauffeured children in Australia. We have both commuter suburbs where parents are forced to drive and drop, as I call it, drive the children to school, drop them off, race off to work. That means that children dropped at the door of school rather than walking to it, and we need to be worried very much about their their diets, because low-income areas in particular have much higher rates of fast food outlets and do rely on fast food because it can be a cheaper way of feeding a family.
Yeah, I think you've kind of hit one of the cornerstones there. Again, remembering growing up, a feed of fast food was kind of like a treat. Every 3 or 4 months you'd be heading down to the local fast food outlet. It wasn't sort of part of the weekly diet. I think we've picked up on quite a few things there, Rosemary. Thank you for your time with us this morning. Hopefully by the time we do this again next time, there is a shift in the other direction.
It would be good, wouldn't it? Thank you very much.
Thank you for that, Rosemary. And I guess although we want governments to do what they can, a little bit of self-accountability goes a bit of a long way as well.